For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, last weekend, after the freestyle relay women's final at the Olympics, there was a slight wait for the winning Australian team to exit the Paris Aquatic Centre. During that wait, a commentator for Eurosport named Bob Ballard said, "Well, the women just finishing off, you know what women are like, hanging round, doing their makeup." That comment caused quite a bit of a stink, as you might imagine. Ballard apologised, but was dropped from Eurosport's commentary team anyway. So in such circumstances, why is there no room for forgiveness? Brendan O'Neill is chief politics writer for the online magazine Spiked and many other publications and has been a long-term foe of so-called cancel culture. Good afternoon, Brendan.
Hi.
If the internet didn't exist, do you think that this would have happened to him?
Probably not, actually. I think the internet has a lot to answer for in relation to cancel culture, because a mob can form very quickly and demand someone's scalp because they said something, you know, offensive or un-PC or a bit too colourful or whatever. So, yes, I think the internet contributes a lot to this. But I just think the way Eurosport treated Bob Ballard is absurd and ridiculous. You know, it was a bit sexist. It was a bit of a 1970s style comment. It's certainly not something I would say. But he's an old geezer, which is how he described himself. He's been doing sports commentating for 30 years, I think. So to unceremoniously dump him over one aside, I think that's just very cruel.
Mm. No, and the reason why I asked you about the internet is that it has this reductive capability where someone is just reduced to the last thing they said or the last thing they said that people don't like, rather than, as you mentioned, Bob Ballard's been doing this for years. Is there a history of making comments like this? I, as far as I know, there isn't. But it's a kind of, you know, the internet is just hanging around waiting for a gotcha moment and then you're out.
That's right. And people get a real thrill, I think, a bit of a cheap, nasty thrill from being part of a cancel culture mob. It makes them feel powerful when in other areas of their life, they might not feel powerful. So they can go online, they can be at home in their mum's basement or their own bedroom, wherever they might be, they can go online and suddenly they feel like this very powerful person who is dragging someone down, who is cancelling someone from public life. It gives people a fleeting sense of power. But I think if they really were to search their souls over what they're doing, they would realise that what they're doing is not very nice. It's not very forgiving. It's not very pleasant. And it certainly is not very friendly towards the ideals of liberty. So cancel culture, I think, has become a bit of a pox on our societies.
Yeah, though a lot of what you said, and it doesn't matter what political stripe one is of, that you could say a lot of those things about people on the right say that about people on the left and vice versa.
Oh, I think both sides take part in cancel culture mobs. I think that over the past few years, the left has been kind of worse. The left has become incredibly censorious and, you know, if you're a gender critical feminist who criticizes some of the transgender ideology, they can be cancelled very quickly by left wingers. But there are people on the right who are as happy as people on the left to take part in this kind of unforgiving culture. You know, when Donald Trump was shot, some people online made silly jokes about the shooting, offensive jokes. I really do think some of them were quite offensive. But we're talking about an old lady who works in Home Depot in the United States. She's a cashier, and a right-wing mob went to her place of work, exposed her online, and she lost her job.
Oh,
over something she said on Facebook, which got 2 likes. You know, that is unnecessary. That is cruel. So the right is doing this as well as the left. Both sides are taking part in it.
Yeah. Which leaves no room for nuance for anyone then.
That's right. No room for nuance and no room for forgiveness. No room for people just to say, look, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I won't do it again, which is what Bob Ballard did, by the way, and he was still given the chop. You know, cancel culture is like a religion but without forgiveness. It's like religion without redemption. You know, it has all the bad parts of religion, the kind of unforgiving attitude, the stern judgment of people's behavior, the kind of finger pointing element, but it doesn't have the ability of people to confess and to be forgiven. So it's like this cruel religion that has imposed itself on our society. And lots of people are losing their jobs, losing their reputations, and losing a lot as a consequence of this. So I think we need to put the brakes on it before it goes too far.
And is this, Brendan, about free speech, do you feel? Now, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, you'd be a free speech absolutist, would you be? Would you define yourself that way?
I am a free speech absolutist. And, you know, people who take part in cancel culture mobs, they will often say it's only censorship when the state does it. That's the only censorship that really counts, if the government is banning you from speaking. When it's just ordinary people saying, I don't like what you said, and therefore I don't think you should work in this place anymore, that's not censorship, they will say. That's just activism. I don't buy that at all. It is another form of censorship. It's mob censorship, which in my view can be even scarier than state censorship. But it's the real achievement, if we could call it that, of cancel culture is not just the big names that it drags down and exposes to public ridicule. It's the trickle-down effect it has across society. So if you think about the abuse that someone like J.K. Rowling gets all the time, simply for her views on sex and gender, she's uncancelable because she's so rich, she's a cultural institution, they can't end her career, it's not possible. But it has a trickle-down effect, and it sends a message to other women in society who are not as powerful, not as rich, not as influential, and it says to them, if you say what she says, imagine what we could do to you. Imagine how we could destroy your career, destroy your life. So cancel culture goes for the big guns, but it has this effect, a chilling effect across society, that it warns people not to think or say the supposedly wrong thing.
Yeah. You see, at the same time, because I'm thinking to say that everything that's been on in Gaza over the last, since October the 7th, now, many Jews have said, in this country and in the UK as well, that, you know, on protests in support of Gazans, there's always going to be a cohort who are going way too far, who seem to be actively promoting the violence that took place on October the 7th. And just the general kind of hostility towards Benjamin Netanyahu, is, at least, have made a lot of Jews feel unsafe in countries that they've lived in all their lives. So given that's happening, should those people be allowed to do that? Because that makes people feel actively unsafe and perhaps open to physical attack, because you don't know what that could lead to.
Yeah, well, you know, I am a free speech absolutist, so I do support the right of people to protest, even if it's a protest I don't particularly like. And I even support the right of people to say bigoted things, because I think the only way to challenge bigotry is out in the open. Let us see what they're saying. Let's confront them and challenge them and really take down their arguments. So I think freedom is the answer to bigotry, not censorship. But, you know, there is a real double standard on the modern day left. You know, this is a left that tends to see racism everywhere, in every comment, in every form of behavior, even if it's not actually racist. And yet they're happy to march shoulder to shoulder with some people on those demonstrations.
Yeah, no, but the point is, Brendan's saying things that could lead to actual harm. Should there be no limit on that kind of speech?
I think there has to be limits on incitement to violence, for sure. But, you know, the American Civil Liberties Union in the US, it's a very pro-free speech group. And I think their line is pretty good, which is that everything should be free to express unless you're saying something that could cause imminent harm. So if I was to say to you, for example, you know, take this stick and go over there and hit that man on the head, that's not me expressing an opinion. That's not me giving voice to my deep held thoughts. That's me using speech to encourage an imminent form of violence. So when people are doing that, when they're inciting violence that could very potentially take place, that's not freedom of speech. That's the use of speech in the commission of a crime. And that definitely has to be controlled and outlawed. But everything else, even if it's opinions we don't like and views we abhor, I do think we have to err on the side of freedom of speech. And the solution to problems in society, I think, is more freedom, not less.
Brendan, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was
Moncrief on News Talk.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.